when I gave the word. Now in the morning I sleep alone. Sweep the streets I used to own.
So Greg Masters here at Qualcomm Connect 2015. And after 5 years of trying to get this man in front of my camera, he finally consented.
It hasn't been that long. Yeah. Great to be with you, Greg.
It's good to see you. So, Eric, tell me something. You just got off the stage for what has always been peak performance in terms of a keynote. Your topic today was democratizing medicine. You first started unpacking this dilemma in The Creative Destruction of Medicine, most recently followed that up with The Patient Will See You Now, and now you're on this democratizing medicine theme. Talk to us a little bit about the genesis of your thinking over the last 5-6 years here. What's happening?
Right. Well, the first phase was getting medicine digitized, and clearly that's starting to happen. But then what? What happens when people have their data? Ideally, they own their data, and they have computer machine support to interpret it, whether it's through the cloud or whether it's through algorithms or combinations. Then you have this democratization take place. And that is what is the biggest reset of all. It isn't just getting it digitized, it's getting a medicine available to all, democratized.
So you heard, you might have been in the audience when Jim Malt was up there talking about uptake, and Rick Valencia was going through maybe some of the slow rollout of the Qualcomm Life platform and adoption by the industry. What do you think are some of the major obstacles here for this digital health thing to really go mainstream?
Well, there are obstacles, but on the other hand, we're in the middle of an economic crisis. And in fact, what we're seeing is the insurers are raising their rates 20, 30, even more percent. That's already at a $3 trillion level of healthcare in this country. So we have a crisis and we have an opportunity. So if we do get people to have their data and give them more responsibility and freedom with that, we can actually, the projections for the amount of cost reductions here are extraordinary. You know, hundreds of billions, if not a trillion, over the next 5 years. So we have an ability to change this. It's not only economically attractive, moreover, it's, I believe for most people, it's imperative to take charge of their health. For the first time, they have the ability, or will have the ability, to do that.
And they've got more skin in the game now with all these high deductible health plans.
Yeah, not only is the cost of healthcare skyrocketing, but it's all being shunted to them. Gradually, you know, and in some cases much more quickly. So that isn't working. It isn't work just to shift the cost to the consumer, but we should be giving ownership, the data, the charge, the computer support, and it could be so much more accurate, individualized, and better.
So it was great seeing Reed Tuckson hand off to you today. I actually tweeted out two soldiers in the cause of the creative destruction of medicine. How far back is disorganized medicine here? Are they going to get religion soon?
It's hard to say. I think it takes some real rebellion, and it takes the incumbents to take charge, like the big insurers, the big companies that have, you know, large employee base. It's not going to happen from within the community. You know, it's that old line of Schumpeter of creative destruction about you don't have the stagecoach owners building the railways. We got the same problem in healthcare, and medicine has to get fixed from the outside.
Where are you most encouraged, and where do you see the greatest resistance?
Well, the technology is zooming forward. The ability, the resistance is also at the tech level because we're not integrating it well. We're hoarding it and storing it, but we're not really processing it and getting the predictive analytics out of it. So that's an issue. I also think that we have a problem with the intrinsic resistance within the medical community that is not letting up. In fact, it's almost like a backlash trying to diss this progress. So, you know, as people find out that they don't have to wait 2.5-3 weeks to see their doctor, and they can see a physician immediately, and they're having this data flowing back, there gradually, over the next few years, I think will be substantive changes and will override the traditional medical practice.
And do you think these risk-bearing entities that Jim Malt talked about will accelerate that movement?
Yes, I mean, I think that we have all the reason to embrace this. And the fact is, it is inevitable. This is just progress. But every other sector of our lives has already undergone profound change. And medicine is not, it's the last frontier. It's not going to be able to resist this. It's just a matter of when.
In summary, Eric, what are the big takeaways here continue to move the needle forward in a meaningful way?
Well, the big thing that has to happen quickly is to give the unqualified rights of each individual to own their data. Not just that which you're generating through your smartphone and smart devices, but all their data. And that has to happen hopefully soon.
So one last question. How do you do this all? Scripts translational, writing books, talking, doing research, being an advocate here. How do you do this?
Well, it's always a juggling act, but it's something I need a lot of stimulation and I really enjoy it. And hopefully I can help like so many others to make a difference in how we go forward.
Well, from where I sit, you made an amazing difference and just wonderful to get to talk to you. Thanks, Eric.
Great to see you, Greg.
When I gave the word, now in the-